Will you not listen? Why won't you listen? God has spoken love to us. Why will you not listen? Is not he who formed the ear worth the time it takes to hear? Listen as he speaks through living parables that must be heard. Parables that must be heard.
Today we continue our series on the parables of Jesus. He who has ears, let him hear. Today we're going to talk about the parable of the three servants. This is found in a cluster of parables in Matthew 25. If you'd like to use a chair Bible, you'll find this on page 795. We're going to be reading verses 14 to 29. Jesus says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last. Dividing it in proportion to their abilities, he then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received 1 bag of silver dug a hole into the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, 'Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together.' The servant who had received 2 bags of silver came forward and said, 'Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more. The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together.' Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, 'Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back.' But the master replied, 'You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it.' Then he ordered, 'Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" Now, because we have people that learn in a variety of different ways, I'd like for you to watch this video version of the parable of the three servants.
Thank you.
Well, in this parable, we meet two different kinds of servants. The first group is what we might call the faithful servants. And then we have an unfaithful servant, a servant that was even called lazy and wicked. And let's contrast the difference between these two types of servants. The faithful servants viewed the master's money as an opportunity. They were planning to do something with it. They wanted to invest it. But the lazy servant viewed the master's money as a problem. The faithful servants were determined to make a profit, but the lazy servant's attitude was not to take a loss. The faithful servants were interested in pleasing the master. They knew the master would return, and they wanted to show a good return on the investment. But the lazy servant had no interest in what really mattered to the master. The faithful servants were willing to work hard and were willing to take risks. But the lazy servant, there was no hard work and he took no risks. The faithful servants actually invested the master's resources. But the lazy servant, he just buried what the master gave him. The faithful servants allowed the master's gift to change their lives. But the lazy servant refused to let the master's gift touch his life. We're told by the end of the account that the faithful servants knew and loved the master, but the lazy servant didn't know and didn't love the master. Now, you might know this parable better as the parable of the talents, but I have a question. Why did that one talent servant do what he did? Well, it is possible that he felt inferior to the other servants. We are told that the master gave the money to them according to their ability, and since he was not given as much, he might have felt inferior and that there was not the level of expectation that he was going to do anything with it. But one thing we do know is that he was afraid of losing his master's money. He was afraid of the reaction of his master when he returned if he had lost his money, and he was living in fear. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote two letters to Timothy, the young preacher he left in Ephesus, and in 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul writes this, "God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity." If you have this feeling of fear, if you are timid and shy and hesitant to use the things that God has given to you, I want you to understand that does not come from the Spirit of God. And some Christ followers today, they live with worry and doubt. They may live lives in shame and despair. They may feel inferior like this third servant did, and they may be living their lives in fear. But look what Paul says. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." That's what comes from the Spirit of God, not fear, but power, love, and self-discipline. So what can we learn from this parable of the talents? I think there's several things. The first thing is this: what you have is not yours. It belongs to your master. And if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He's your master. And the things that He's given to you, be they financial resources or, as the word implies, talents or abilities, those things don't belong to you. They belong to your master. I think another thing we can learn from this parable is that the master gives you what you can handle according to your ability. Just like the master in the parable, he kind of looked and sized up his servants and gave to them according to their ability. But I think another principle we can see in this is you must invest what you've been given to use by the master. That is so important. You are just a steward of what God has given you. One of the most challenging parts of this parable is to understand that a day of accountability is coming. Just like the master in the parable came back and wanted to know, "What have you done with what I gave you?" One day, the Bible says the Lord's coming back, and He's going to have that same question too. I think another thing we can learn from this parable is that what you do with what you have reveals your view of the master. Remember, the faithful servants, they knew their master, they loved their master, they cared about the things that the master cared about, and that's why they heard those words, good and faithful servant. However, the lazy servant did not know his master, did not love his master, was not concerned about the things that concern the master. And so what you do with what you have reveals your view of Jesus. I think finally what we can learn from this parable is who you know and serve will lead to abundance or agony in the next life. You know, in a lot of churches, you don't hear many sermons that talk about final judgment and the punishment of hell. But Jesus talked about it. He talked about it a lot. And we need to understand that there are eternal destinies. And one of those destinies is heavenly, but the other is not. Now, as we wrap up this parable, I want to remind you that not long ago, in a time not far away, the world changed. Most of us had never heard the word COVID until we heard it put together with the number 19. And you know, it was a trying time for many churches. In the beginning, we weren't allowed to meet and to gather and to worship together. Many churches went online. When churches opened up later, it was hard to get people to come back. And for many smaller churches, like this church family, it was particularly challenging. Some people might look at our church family and consider this a one-talent church. You know, when you're part of a big church, there's lots of programs, there's lots of activities, there's lots of things going on, lots of ways to serve. But sometimes in a smaller church, it looks like you don't have as much to do, and you're not nearly as effective. And there may have been some who said, this church should just give up and shut down. But you know what? The people of this church family knew that the master had other plans. So this church family decided to invest the one and only talent that we had. And we began to pray for the will of the master. And we began to study the word of the master. And we began to give to the work of the master. And we began to serve in the way of the master. And we began to grow by learning how to make disciples for the master, a way of sharing our faith that everyone can do that is pleasing to our master. And you know, God is blessing this church family because of that. Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 11, about some gifts that he gave to the church. Look what he says. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. These are all leadership gifts. Now, there's a lot of people in a lot of churches today that believe this tradition that has developed, that it's the preacher's job to do ministry to people and for people. And many of these churches actually divide those who serve in the ministry apart from the rest of the church. They call it clergy and laity. And the clergy are the people with these leadership gifts, and they do ministry to and for the laity who kind of lay there and take it. But that's not the way God designed the church. Look what Paul says about these leaders that he gave to the church. He says, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. You see, God did give leadership gifts to the church, but it wasn't to do ministry to people and for people. It was to train and equip God's people to do the work of ministry, and that's what builds up the church. So if you're here today and you're a part of the church family, you are a minister. You are a servant. You are to be involved in God's work that builds up the church. And Paul continues and says, this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy, growing, and full of love. So you see, God's plan for his church family is that there are leadership gifts given, but again, they're not to do ministry to people and for people. The leadership gifts are given to train and equip God's people to do God's work and build up the church. And this means we all need to grow in our faith and become mature. But look at the last verse, 16. As each part does its own special work. Did you know that God has special work for you to do here? And when you do your own special work, look what Paul says. It helps the other parts grow. So when you do the things that God wants you to do, when you invest and use your gifts, talents, and abilities, you help other people to grow, so that the whole body is healthy, growing, and full of love. And you know what? That's the kind of church I want to be a part of. Don't you? You see, God has gifted all of us, just like these servants in the story. He's given us financial resources. He's even given us talents and abilities to use for him. And the most important thing that comes out of this parable is we need to do something with the resources God has given us. So you may be here this morning and you might say, what should I do? Well, our friend Matthew West has some encouragement for you. Check it out.
I woke up this morning, saw a world full of trouble. Now I thought, how do we ever get so far down? And how's it ever gonna turn around? So I turned my eyes to heaven. I thought, God, why don't you do something? Well, I just couldn't bear the thought of people living in poverty, children sold into slavery. The thought disgusted me, so I shook my fist at heaven. I said, God, why don't you do something? He said, I did. Yeah. I created you. If not us, then who? City on it. change the world by standing still.
Well, do you have some ideas now? Well, my challenge for you today is this. Discover the talents the Master has given you. And then invest in your Master's kingdom by using your talents to serve Him. Find a special way to invest your talents this week and do something for your Master. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, thank you for this simple and yet challenging parable. And Father, we pray that we would do something with the resources and the abilities that you've given us, that we can show you the investments that we've made, and that we can hear the words, good and faithful servant, when Christ returns. But you know, Lord, this is the day. This is the day to choose that I'm going to do something, and I'm going to use what you've given me to bless others and point them to Jesus. Help us to live out this mission. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing our sermon response song.
Can you